Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 9. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 9. We are continuing with our Sunday school series dealing with the stewardship of life. And as a reminder, stewardship in the Bible does not just deal with finances. The idea of stewardship is that things have been entrusted into our care by a master and that we are responsible for taking those things we're responsible for and using them well, knowing that one day we're going to have to give an account to that master. And we know that there's a stewardship of our finances, stewardship of our talents, stewardship of our time. But as we go through, we find something else that we are a steward over. We find it in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 9. Of course, here we are familiar with 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and notice with me if you don't mind, starting at verse number 16. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse number 16, the Bible says this, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and notice with me in verse 17, where it says, "A dispensation of the gospel." A dispensation of the gospel. Here the word dispensation carries the idea of stewardship. So we could say it rightfully so, a stewardship of the gospel is committed to me. That the gospel is something God has placed into our care with the idea that we are to use it wisely for the master's use, knowing that one day we're going to give an account for this. This becomes a very important idea that God has given us the stewardship, the dispensation of the gospel. Now, we know that the gospel has been given to us to tell the world by divine command. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Go out, ye out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's a command. The gospel is committed to us and that we are witnesses of the work of the gospel. So if we are going to keep the stewardship, the dispensation of the gospel, that means we're to be obedient in spreading it out. As the Apostle Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." This is something we are to take seriously, to take the stewardship of the gospel. So with that, let's explore and see what we mean. First of all, that we have received the gospel. If we are going to be stewards of the gospel, and if we are going to be faithful in carrying out the gospel, we should probably kind of define what the gospel is. All right, so class, someone tell me, what is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this is the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, the death, burial, and resurrection. That's simple. The death, the burial, and the resurrection, all three of those are elements of the gospel. That Jesus Christ, who was God, robed in flesh, died on my behalf. He was buried. He died. It wasn't just he swooned, he just didn't have a condition. He died. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. Those are the three elements of the gospel. Why those three elements? Well, first of all, that we know that Jesus was our substitutionary atonement. He died for me and he died as me. He died for me on the cross of Calvary. He was buried to prove that he was dead. We know that for the wages of sin is death. Because of my sin, because of your sins, we owe God death. Jesus had to pay that payment. He died. On the third day, he rose again. The resurrection is so important to the gospel that Jesus Christ, who rose again, it proved two things. It proved that Jesus was God, and it proved that God was satisfied with the payment that was made. And if we are to be made stewards of the gospel, we are under the command of our master who's entrusted it to us to tell the entire world the gospel. Again, Jesus made it very clear, go out into all the world and preach to every creature the gospel. We are made stewards. That quite simply means that God has commanded us to tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection, to explain to them that they are sinners. Because of their sins, they've offended a holy, righteous God. But Jesus died for them and paid the price, and they must personally accept the gospel for themselves. They must accept this good news for themselves. And remember, because of stewardship, God has placed it into our hands. And because of stewardship, we're going to have to give an account to God with what did we do with what was entrusted to us. God entrusted to us the gospel. And as good stewards, we are to carry out the gospel to every creature, to obey his command. One day we're going to give an account. Did you obey what I told you? Well, what would you tell me? To preach the gospel to every creature. Did you do that? Makes it quite simple. We may not like it that way, but it's either you obey or you disobey. Did you do what I told you or not? That God has entrusted us with this gospel. In fact, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16 and 17, again with that backdrop, notice that we've received the gospel. Verse number 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Why? Because it's not my gospel. It's God's gospel. I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm bragging on what he did, not what I did. For I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul says, God has given me this. I have a huge responsibility. Good. Your teacher's waiting for you upstairs if you'd like to go. That God has given us this responsibility, and we need to take it seriously. Every single one of us, if you are saved, you have what is called a BA degree, born again. That's all you need to be able to tell the gospel, to tell your story. And everyone has have a story because we all got saved the same way. All of us had to realize that we were sinners. And because of our sin, that we've offended a holy, righteous God. And that we realized that we deserved hell. We deserved punishment. But Jesus died for me so I didn't have to. And I had to come to a place where I personally received Christ as my Savior. All of us have that story. All we're to do is to tell people our story of what God did in my life. And I'm responsible of telling others that same story. And if I don't, woe unto me. Why is it woe? I have to stand before God and give an account for did I obey or did I not obey? Verse 17, 1 Corinthians 9, 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Meaning if I get to the place where I said, this is something I need to do, and I'm willing to do it. I don't have to be dragged. I don't have to have my arm pulled. I don't have to be pushed up. I don't have to be grabbed by the nape of the neck and tossed in. If I do this willingly, I get a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. But even if I'm not willing to, God will try to make me do it anyways. Why? It's what I've been doing to do. I'd rather do it willingly, get a reward, rather than, all right, I had to do this, but this is a big responsibility. God takes us seriously. Every single one of us, every single one of us is committed this stewardship of the gospel. Paul didn't have a monopoly on the gospel, but the gospel had a monopoly on him. And he realized that this was the one thing that God had given him to do. It dominated his life, to preach the gospel. As we examine this a little bit more, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. And we can see something interesting. We owe the gospel. We owe the gospel. Notice with me the book of Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. And notice as the Apostle Paul gives these statements here, the powerful statements, Romans chapter 1. Notice with me, if you don't mind, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you, that is at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Notice this interesting. He says, I am a debtor. What do you mean you're a debtor, Paul? He owed the gospel to every creature. Why? Because God presented it to him, and he had the responsibility to go tell other people because it was committed to him. It was his stewardship. He owed them the gospel. Now, looking at this, we see it's important because it's important to pay our debts, that we owe God the gospel. I am a debtor. I've been entrusted in this. Let's just imagine, if you don't mind, that a millionaire gave me a bunch of money. Wonderful. And he said, I am giving you the responsibility for everyone that comes to church to give him $50. Well, that's pretty good. What if I say, you know what? They don't deserve it. They're bums. Forget that. And I keep the money for myself. Am I being a good steward? No. I was entrusted with something to give out. I owed everyone that came in that $50 because that's what I was commanded to do. I wasn't to keep it to myself. I was entrusted with it. Well, God entrusted us with the gospel and said, you give it to everyone that comes in. You owe them that. And so because the master gave me something that wasn't mine and told me to pass it out, if I refuse to pass it out, well, then I'm not a good steward. I'm a debtor to every man. This becomes a big thing, a big deal. We owe people the gospel. What would happen if we really believed we owed people the gospel? How would it change the way that we approached? No matter who we see or where we go, we have something we owe them. It's not just they need it, but we owe it to them. Now, why put a big deal on this? This week, last week, I've been encouraged that several people said that they were praying for boldness to go tell the gospel. Good, that's a good prayer request. We know that belief affects behavior. So we're not just working on modifying behavior. You need to go, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go. We have to work on belief. So what is the belief? I owe them. I owe everyone the gospel. I've been given something responsible and I need to go pass it out. I'm now looking at it differently. I'm not looking at the behavior, I'm looking at the belief. When Paul says, I owe everyone the gospel, he's not looking at people. He's looking at God, who gave him the responsibility to go pass it out to everyone. I owe them the gospel because he gave it to me and I need to pass it out. This becomes important as we go out. Our belief affects behavior. I owe God a great debt. He entrusted me this, and he told me to go pass it out. I need to give it out. It's not mine. I'm commanded to do this. I'd be wrong if I didn't. Paul was saying, this is expected that I do this willingly. Necessity is laid upon me. Why? Because I have the stewardship of the gospel. This is my time to live. I have the gospel, and others don't have this gospel who need to hear it. I am a debtor. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Greeks. That means those who could read Greek language, and to the barbarians, those who couldn't read the Greek language. That's what that meant. both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach or to proclaim the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Why are we not ashamed of the gospel? Because we know it changes lives. This is what people need. I'm a debtor. I can look at someone's life and I could say it's falling apart. And I could look at them and say, you know, I don't know if I should give this to them. I don't want to disrupt them. Or are you going to make their life worse by giving them the gospel? This is the thing they need to change their life. They're not happy with things are going. They need the gospel. When people are worried and fretting about what's going to happen to them, they need the gospel. We need to give them the gospel. We are a debtor to that. Someone said you can't give the gospel to the wrong person. Why? Because everyone needs it. Amen. We just need to remember, God has given me this. Again, that illustration I just gave, if someone gave me the money to give $50 to everyone came in, I'm responsible giving it out. I would have all kinds of scandal if it found out that I wasn't giving out that money, right? Untrustworthy preacher. He's in it for himself, rightfully so. Same thing God's going to say to us if we didn't pass it out. We were entrusted with it to give it to every person. You said, I don't know if it could be done. Well, in the 90s, Coca-Cola decided that they were going to make sure that everyone in the world had the opportunity to taste Coca-Cola. And they completed the task. They went to the jungles. They went everywhere. They organized their efforts to get it done. Well, don't we have something better than Coca-Cola? Amen. Yep. Maybe not Dr. Pepper, but Coke. I mean, if Coca-Cola can organize their efforts to get it done, we have something more important. Now, you may not go to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, but there are plenty of people around you that need the gospel. Amen. And you are a debtor because God trusted you, gave this to you, and said that you were to give it out to every person. We are debtors. Which brings us to the last thing. We are to pay our debt. We are to pay our debt. We know that just being a good human being, good citizen, means to pay your debt. If you owe someone, you pay it. That's just responsible. You just don't let that bills keep stacking up. You pay your debts. We have an obligation to pay the debts. We don't want to live an indebted life. Anyone who's in debt knows how horrible of a feeling that is, to be in debt and just keep looking at the bills keep piling up. It's horrible. By that same token, God says we owe the gospel. By owing the gospel, we're to pay our debts. If we haven't paid our debt, it is a sin against God, against the lost in the world, a sin against the gospel, because Jesus' blood was enough to save every single person. You ever think that the blood of Jesus, when it was shed, the blood that Jesus shed was enough to save every person from every sin in the world? Meaning that if we were going to look at this as a financial tally sheet, we would say Jesus' blood, and we would say that its equality, what it's equal to, is to every person who ever lived. That's the value of it, right? Yes. And people understand tally sheets and... But what happens if people die and go to an awful place called hell? Those are people who died without receiving the blood payment of Jesus. That means Jesus' blood did not get its full value. Every person who dies and goes to hell, the value of Jesus' blood, of what it could have paid for, goes down. Does that make sense? Just looking at it a financial perspective, just straight numbers idea. Well, because I love Jesus, I want him to get as much value out of his shed blood as possible. Amen. I'm a debtor. I'm to work and do my best to try to see everyone come to know Christ as their Savior so my wonderful Savior can get full value for what he paid for. You know, we all get grumpy. You know, fast food is notorious about missing an order, right? You're driving somewhere and you're in a hurry. You get your McDonald's bag and get everyone settled. You're already down the road. You start passing out the burgers and wait a second. I'm missing mine. I paid for this and I didn't get my full value. And we get pretty angry just because we're missing a hamburger. Yeah. Call them up while you're driving back. I didn't get my burger. Are you coming back? I can't come back. And you're frustrated because there's nothing you could do to retrieve that value again. You're already on your way. Now, I'm assuming that most of you have enough flesh to get irritated when they mess up your order. Yeah, yeah. You didn't get the full value what you paid. If you missed a big hamburgers are getting expensive. Almost have to take a loan out to get a hamburger nowadays. Smile. If I paid all of that money, missing one thing, I feel upset that I didn't get full value of what I paid for. Well, Jesus' blood was enough to pay for every person who ever lived. And all he's asking is for people he already died for, he paid their price for, is to help out in making sure he gets as much value for what he paid for as possible. We're debtors. And we are to pay our debt. We are to make sure that if you were going to take this as an equation financial statement, that the customer gets everything they paid for. That's good customer service. That's being a good servant. We are debtors. And we're to pay our debt. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I like to hear the rustling of the pages of scriptures. I want you to see it for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 5, 14. For if the love of Christ... For the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth carries a picture of a big bear hug. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That means he gives us a big bear hug. Because of his love, he holds on tight. And I realize that I have a responsibility because of this great love. Because if we thus judge... That if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live should not thenceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, here's another equation. We were dead, he was alive. He paid our debt to allow us to live again. We're now spiritually born. Now, we didn't have life. He gave us life. Because he gave us this life, he gave us the life. It's technically not ours. We're borrowing that life. Therefore, we should live the life that he gave to us for however he sees fit. We owe him. We're twice bought. Rob Watkins gave that illustration of the boy who built the boat. He had built that toy boat and he had purchased that boat, put it together, spent all that time. And then he had put that sailboat and he had a string on it and kept putting it deeper into the lake and then pulling it back and deeper into the lake and pulling it back. And he put it deep into the lake and pulled it back. But this time he only pulled a rope and the sailboat sailed away and he couldn't get out to go get it. He thought he lost it, but as he was walking by a toy store weeks later, there was his boat, the one that he put together, the one he painted. He goes inside and says, that's my boat. And he says, nope. The owner said, someone sold it to me. I own it now. You can't have it. And the boy was discouraged, but decided he was going to work for it, did odd jobs, mowed lawns, did everything he could. And he went back and bought that boat himself, finally. And as he's going back, he says to that boat, "You're twice mine. I made you, and then I bought you." Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He made us, and then he bought us. We're twice owned. Our life is not our own. It's his. And we belong wholly to him. And we're to do what he's given us to do because of that. By the way, that is a picture of a Bible word we called redemption, to buy back. And because he bought us, we should realize he loves us so much and that we're a debtor. And we need to pay that debt because we didn't have life and now we do. And we want others to have that same life that's made to be available. God is just asking us to be good stewards that he has given us. If we were to put it in financial terms, he gave us a sum of money. He gave us a responsibility to do something with that sum of money. And then one day we're going to stand before him and give an account. Did we do what we were supposed to do? In this case, it's the gospel. We are debtors. We are stewards of the gospel. Every once in a while, we'll hear a story of someone who carries this out in real life. There was a crazy evangelist. Oh, his name just escaped me. I'm getting that 40 years old where the names start disappearing in your mind. Some of you might know where that's at. Carl Hatch, that was. Crazy Carl Hatch. He once went into a bank and said, I owe the bank a debt. I'm here to pay it. And they said, "Well, hold on a second, sir." And they checked their computers and said, "Listen, we don't even have you as an account here. You don't owe us anything. You're good." He says, no, you don't understand. I owe a debt." Well, sir, we could check our records again." And they looked back and said, "Listen, we have no record of you whatsoever." He says, "You don't understand. I owe you a debt and I need to pay this thing." He says, "Well, we'll get you the bank president. Maybe they could sort things out." He goes into the bank president, and the bank president says, "I'm kind of confused. You say that you owe us something, owe us money, but we've checked our accounts. There's nothing in there. What is it we could do for you?" He says, "I owe you the debt of the gospel, and I'm in here to pay it." And he went and led the bank president to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I mean, sometimes just taking it literally. I owe a debt. And I'm responsible to pay that debt. God has given us a huge responsibility. He could have written the gospel in the clouds. He could have just every day in the clouds, he could have said, John 3:16. He could have had it written in the rocks where we could go and look and see it. But God has chosen to use human instrumentality to get his work done. He says, "I want to trust some stewards. And I want them to do what I've given them to do. I'm trusting them to get the job done for me because I'm going to have them give an account. I've did something for them, and now I'm asking them to do something for me." They are debtors. And as we think about stewardship, we understand this becomes a big deal. Let's find the right motive and stop excusing ourselves in this manner of the stewardship of the gospel. And realize we are debtors. And we need to pay this debt. And we need to be glad to do it because of what God has done for us. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you again for the simple message of the gospel that you died for our sins. And all we had to do was receive, believe, trust, and the promises you made. And you'd forgive us of our sins full, free, and forever. But with it comes a responsibility that because of this new life that you gave to us, we're responsible in passing this life out to others. Help us to be good stewards of the gospel. Thank you for the day that you've given to us, and help us for the service to come. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.